Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is KDX In Depth. I'm Rob Archer.
And I'm Charles Feldman. Paris, ah, Paris, the city of lights. But it's not so romantic. Why? Creepy little bed bugs, those creepy little things in the bed. We'll go in depth whether Southern California also needs to worry about any massive bed bug infestation.
An idea quickly catching on amongst Republicans is invading Mexico to stop drug cartels. And a Biden family member has been booted from the White House. We'll tell you all about the bark and bite behind the story. It's a rough one.
So we start with bed bugs in Paris and beyond. Jim Fredericks is a bug expert. He's with the National Pest Management Association. Jim, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
So I was just actually in Europe, not in France, but nearby, and it was definitely news all over Europe, not just in Paris, about their alleged bed bug infestation. So the question I have is a twofold one. Is this something, in fact, that's new and we need to be concerned about? And what about here in good old Southern California?
Well, bed bugs have been on the rise worldwide, certainly in Europe and the U.S. for the past 2 decades or so. For a good 40 years, since the early 70s, bed bugs were not common in the West at all. And but based on some changes in control practices, some changes in travel patterns kind of brought about a resurgence in bed bugs. And so it's not surprising that Europe is seeing this, is seeing a bed bug resurgence right now. L.A.? Yes, L.A. has bed bugs, and bed bugs are common in Los Angeles. L.A. typically ranks among the top 10 most infested cities or so in the U.S. But all large cities have bed bugs. It turns out that so L.A. is no different. The reasons for that are lots of people living in close quarters means lots of food for bed bugs that's readily abundant. When we mix in lots of travel, people moving around, it's a perfect recipe for bed bug infestations.
What do bed bugs feed on precisely?
They feed on one thing, and that's blood. So if we had planned this for the Halloween season, these are blood-sucking pests, and they only eat blood.
Sounds like some of my family members. I'm just saying what it is. No, I won't say who. But how do we get rid of them? I mean, they're on the increase, you said, from all the reasons you gave. It does freak people out. I don't mind saying that I have a severe prejudice against all insects, frankly, but bed bugs, I'm not crazy about. I'll admit it on the air. I hate them. I don't like them. I wish they would go away. I want to figure out if I had them, how would I get rid of them? So how would I get rid of them?
Sure. Well, it's a good question. And bed bugs are one of the most difficult pests to control. In fact, this is one of those pests that we encourage people, to call a pro. It's not a do-it-yourself project when it comes to bed bugs. There's a number of different things that that professionals will do. First of all, they're going to do a complete inspection of a property to make sure that we know where the bed bugs are found. Despite their name, bed bugs are found in other places other than just a bed or a bedroom. It turns out that any place that people spend time resting for long periods of time could be a place where bedbugs will set up shop. So if you have family members that are maybe somebody sleeping on the couch, that's a place where bedbugs could be. We also see bedbugs in places like movie theaters, buses, trains, places where people are resting for long periods of time are a perfect place for bedbugs to find a blood meal.
So how do we... There must be some way to... I want them gone. I want them eradicated. I want them off the face of the earth. Did they do any good, by the way? Do they contribute in any way, shape, or form to anything?
Well, that's a great question. Off the top of my head, I can't think of something that bedbugs are good for. But eradication has been a problem. You know, just like any pest, these are critters that have behaviors that make it difficult to completely eliminate them. Since time immemorial, people have been battling bedbugs. It's thought that bedbugs actually made the jump from feeding on bats, perhaps in caves, to people who took up, you know, living in caves and then kind of migrated around with people. They are excellent hitchhikers. And so if you decide that, you know, you have bedbugs in your house and I'm just going to move, right? I'm just going to move out. Bedbugs will come along with you because when they're finished feeding, they don't stay on the person. They will go and hide in cracks and crevices. Oftentimes that's cracks and crevices, maybe in a bed frame or a nightstand, but they can also get caught up in your luggage or your stored items and move right along with you. So bedbugs are well associated with people.
How do you figure out if you have them?
There's a couple of telltale signs. The first would be the bugs themselves. Secondly would be the shed skins or the exoskeletons. So you can imagine like a snake sheds its skin. Bed bugs do the same thing. If you see those, but you will also notice in heavily infested areas that bed bugs, after feeding on blood, they leave behind fecal spots. So dark, specks or spots, oftentimes on sheets or around seams or tufts and folds in mattresses or other furniture.
They do sound like family members. They just do.
What a great start to the show. Jim Fredericks, thank you so much. Entomologist, he's a bug expert. By the way, we did reach out to some bed bugs for comment.
Yes.
They chose not to communicate with us.
I mean, they're disgusting.
Good for nothing.
And they don't, right. Apparently, they don't contribute to anything.
Yeah. Other than to make for really gross segments on shows like this one.
Yeah. Okay. We should check the studio, by the way.
Yeah.
What is that on your head?
Now I'm going to be paranoid all day.
I know, and that's why I said that. Right now, though, some Republican presidential candidates and members of Congress, they're floating the idea, ready for this one, of military intervention in Mexico, the U.S. going into Mexico to fight drug cartels, whether the Mexican government allows it or not. Nathan Jones is a drug policy and Mexico studies expert at Rice University's Baker Institute for Public Policy. Nathan, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So when I was reading about this the other day, my first reaction was, no one is really serious about this. And then I read more. And I thought, they are serious about this. At least some people are. Are they?
Yes, I think they are becoming serious about it. And a lot of it is driven by Donald Trump and the policies he thinks will work politically. Unfortunately, the reality is such policies will not work either militarily or diplomatically.
Yeah, it's got to be a violation of all kinds of international laws. But I'm thinking of if some other country said that we're going to invade our neighboring country because we got to do something about the drug problem. I think a lot of us in America covering that would look very askance at that and say it's just a pretext to invade another country. And people would say that about the U.S., wouldn't they?
I'm sure that would be a criticism that would be leveled. Yes, definitely.
Well, I mean, but let's play this out. Let's say it happened and we, I don't know if invasion is the right word, we somehow went into, that sounds very diplomatic, we went into Mexico uninvited. Could it in some way actually work? Because the Mexican authorities are notoriously corrupt. They haven't done a very good job over the decades in cleaning up the drug problem in Mexico, largely because of the demand problem here in the U.S., but nonetheless, could it actually work?
No, because these fentanyl, we're talking about this specifically related to fentanyl markets. That's what's driving all of this. We've got 110,000 overdoses here in the United States. About two-thirds of those are specifically from fentanyl. Fentanyl has come on very strong in a way no other drug really has. And so now we've got politicians who are using war language as an attempt to respond to that. But if fentanyl labs early on, we've had some recent Sinaloa cartel indictments from earlier this year. In 2014, for example, they were some of the earliest entrants. Maybe early on, there were some centralized labs. At this point, though, the precursors are produced in China, possibly India. We're expecting a transition to that. They end up in Mexico. The precursors are mixed together in quote-unquote labs. There are so many. This is going to be a decentralized system. So the idea that you could just go and target one lab with special forces, special operations, or some kind of missile strike or something like that. These are the ideas that are being bandied about. That it would have any effect on the overall market is kind of silly.
And then you got to game this out even further, all right? You got drugs coming in from the cartels operating out of Mexico. So, you know, we have to invade Mexico. But, you know, Canada could look at us and say, hey, you got all those drugs that have come into your country and they're coming into Canada from you guys. And then Canada invades the U.S. I don't think that would fly. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say I don't think that would work.
Yes, it certainly would not. And that scenario is unrealistic for a whole series of other reasons, including the power distribution between the United States and Canada. But the best way to move forward with Mexico, if we actually want to address the fentanyl issue, is through bilateral cooperation. And then we've got to have a multi-prong approach if we actually want to address fentanyl. We've got to work with countries around the world to get some controls and regulations internationally on fentanyl precursors. And we've got to work bilaterally with Mexico on specific interdiction strategies. And also building up their state capacity to do it themselves. Mexico only raises 16% of GDP in tax revenue. The OECD average, by contrast, is 34%.
Wow.
So even if we're not taking into account corruption, they're running a country on half of what a normal country runs on. And that means there's not money for salaries for police, good salaries for police. That makes them corruptible. The penal system is weak. The judicial system is weak. And local police, state police, and federal police are weak. And then there's been this really dangerous tendency toward militarization of everything. AMLO, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, the current president of Mexico, built a National Guard force. And it's kind of a gendarmerie force that splits the difference between the military and law enforcement capacities. Right. And the truth is, it's basically run by the military.
All right, Nathan. Nathan Jones, say we got to leave it there. Thank you so much. A drug policy and Mexico studies expert at Rice University. Rice University's. I got a bed bug in my mouth.
Well, it's hard to say.
University's Baker Institute for Public Policy.
That's a mouthful.
I got it out.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Later in the show, there's a lot less bark in the White House. We're going to tell you about why a certain very disruptive member of the Biden family has been booted out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
You know, reporters have had dogged determination in chasing down this story, and they've caught it.
Ooh, I know what you did there. I caught you in that one. I know.
Low-hanging fruit is not going to pick itself. Somebody's got to do it.
But it wasn't even low-hanging fruit. The fruit was on the ground.
It was on the ground and rotting.
It was on the ground.
I picked it up and put it in the barrel.
Yeah.
Right now, though, President Biden slammed former President Trump in the past for building a border wall with Mexico. However, the Biden administration now waiving some laws to build additional border barriers in Texas due to the high number of illegal crossings. Hernan Molina is an L.A.-based political analyst for Estrella TV. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for the invitation.
So on the one hand, the Biden administration is kind of portraying this as his hands are tied. He's got to do this. He doesn't believe that a border wall is the answer to the situation. On the other hand, illegal border crossings are a problem, an ongoing problem, a problem that is getting worse right now. And a border wall may or may not help. It depends on how you look at it. Where does this fall? Does this turn out to be a kind of a sneaky win-win for Biden, or a lose-lose?
I think it's a lose-lose, not only because the border continues to be very porous, and within the Democratic Party, there are some people who are saying we should welcome these people, but also within that same Democratic Party, there are people who are saying, like the mayor of New York City, the governor of Illinois, the mayor of Chicago, are saying we are overwhelmed, we need help. San Diego, same thing. So this is not just a headache for Biden. This is a migraine. It's a migraine of big proportions, because on the polls, particularly with independent voters, they are very dissatisfied with immigration policy, which is not just a problem of the Democratic Party. We are actually all being witnesses to the carnival that the House of Representatives has become with the speakership issue. So this is both parties' lack of a cohesive, or at least a consensuated immigration policy. But obviously that's for a different conversation. But this border issue is a problem for Biden. It's a political headache, more like a migraine.
Well, okay, but does he score points with some, if not Trump voters, at least some more conservative Republicans when the presidential election comes around, who might have been disinclined to vote for Biden because of, he wasn't building the wall that Donald Trump promised to build, kind of thing. And now he could say, well, yeah, I kind of did.
I think he gains more of support with those independents who are currently dissatisfied with the way the border policy has been handled. And in the view of many of these voters, we are having an invasion. So this needs to happen. The problem for Biden ultimately is how this impacts in the overall performance of his presidency, which is not great. The poll numbers for a president who's facing re-election are not fantastic. On the other hand, you have Trump mired with so many legal issues that for the base are neither here or there, but for the independents, who most likely will end up voting for some sort of a repetition of the last election, where they were seeking somewhat of a return to normalcy. So this issue of the border security may be an important issue, but overall, they're going to perhaps go back to say, Biden may not be great, but it's better than this constant circus that we have with Trump.
All right, Hernan Molina, thank you so much for joining us, LA-based political analyst for Estrella TV.
You're listening to KNX In Depth. Along with Rob Archer, I'm Charles Feldman.
Hollywood studios and SAG-AFTRA are set to meet again tomorrow for another round of negotiations to try to end this actor's strike, which started in July. There are reports that some progress is being made.
Yeah, you know, we've talked to many people hit hard by this strike and the writer's strike, which, of course, is now over. Troy Edelston is a prop maker. Now, we talked to him in late July, I believe it was, because he was out of work and trying to figure out how to pay his bills. Well, he's back with us now. Troy, hope you're well. Thank you for joining us. So tell us how things have shaped up for you.
Hi, Charles. Thanks for having me on today. Things are pretty much the same as they were back then when I came in and spoke with you guys before, except I've been able to develop a bit of a rapport with my neighbors by playing neighborhood handyman.
Neighborhood handyman? How does that work?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's been word of mouth. A lot of my neighbors just been picking me up for odds and ends around the house of problems that they have, like maybe a door doesn't close, tile needs to be grouted. The list goes on, just different little things that they need handled that, they don't want to hire a big contractor over to do, just little things. So I've been, nickel and diming my way through, getting my bills paid and keeping a roof over my head.
Mm. Do your skills as a prop maker help you with that?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't imagine what I would do without the skills that that I do have.
Do you have a sense now that the writers' strike is over and there are more talks between the producers and SAG-AFTRA? Do you have realistic hopes that this is now soon going to finally end and you can go back to work as a prop person?
Yeah. It's funny. We're still not out of the woods yet. That's how I feel about it. I mean, we still have, still got the actors, thing going on still. And I think that when we go back, it's going to start off kind of slow and spotty because we have the holidays coming up and there's a lot of holiday pay out there that I think the producers don't want to put out. They don't want to get things started off if we have to take time off for, cause we have a lot of, 40 weekends coming up. And it's usually this time of year, every year, it's kind of slow. So if it does start up anytime soon, I think it's going to be just kind of a slow start, spotty here and there. And I think that probably after the new year, we'll be going full blast. Everybody will be working, probably be bringing new people in.
And there might be some extra work, too, because as I understand it, there might be kind of a crunch, a production crunch, as everybody tries to get up and running with some projects they've had to put on hold because they don't want to wait too long because then they've got other projects behind those they've got to catch up on. So it could turn out to be well for you if you can hang on. And let's put that positive thought in your head. What's the first thing you're going to do once everybody's back to work and you're comfortable again with where you are?
Well, first, I'm going to try to get used to getting up at 4:20 every morning, because that hasn't been my usual schedule. But it's like I said, I think it's just going to be a big crunch when we do get started. I mean, if it happens in November and we start hitting this thing hard, or even in October, if we start hitting this thing hard and we start getting all the backlog stuff going, it's time to start thinking about our contract. What we have to look forward to in our future, because I have my son in the business and he's young and I'm coming up on the verge of retirement myself. And it just seems like they're going to want a million things done and they're going to want 10 pounds of things put into a 5-pound can. You know what I mean? And it's just going to make for more time away from family.
I'm curious about something. You were saying that you're making a living now by helping your neighbors out as kind of a fix-it person.
Yeah.
But since they know that you're a prop guy, has anyone asked you to build anything really, weird?
Not really. They'll have a situation like, let's say there's a gate they have on the side of their house that they want to open a certain way, and they want it to be maybe so that somebody from the outside can't tell that you can open it from a certain direction. I'll do it in a style to where, my prop making skills will come in handy and I'll make it look like a gate that doesn't open with a handle or anything.
Interesting.
Things like that.
All right. Troy Edelson, thanks so much. As a prop maker, he's been cooling his heels for a while as the writers and the actors went out on strike. So the writers are back. Actors could be coming back. A lot of people hope very soon.
Well, we were talking before about how many of us might have a family member that we wish would just go away.
Right.
And many of us do.
Yeah.
I mean,
send them away.
And some of us are lying and we say we don't. but many of us do. Yeah. Well, it turns out a Biden family member has been unceremoniously, maybe ceremoniously for that matter, removed from the White House. It's because he's got a history of biting people.
Biting people. Huge scandal. We're not talking about a person, though. It is Commander, the president's 2-year-old German Shepherd. Jonathan Lemire is the White House Bureau Chief for Politico, host of MSNBC's Morning News show, Way Too Early. Thanks for joining us.
I see what you did there.
Yes, you did.
Another Biden family member.
Another Biden family. And you know, this is a very big scandal. Maybe one of the biggest political scandals in the history of our nation, perhaps the world. My question is this. All right. This dog, Commander, has a history of biting people, Secret Service agents, some White House staff. Now, dogs are generally a good judge of character. So what was it about these people that he bit? Have we looked into them?
Well, the old saying in Washington is, if you want a friend, get a dog. That apparently does not apply, though, to President Biden. Yes, Commander has had somewhat of a problematic run at the West Wing, and you're right. It's a huge story, and I'm grateful this is radio, so I don't have to keep a straight face for this. There has been reporting in the last few days that Hunter Biden has been a number of Secret Service agents. We knew some of that. But now it has apparently also been some other White House staff and that believe the Daily Mail has a picture snapped by a tourist, Commander mid-bite.
Mid-bite.
Latching onto a staff member's arm. And we've been told that, at least for now, Commander is no longer on the White House grounds. And to be fair, the White House is an unusual place for anyone to live. Including a dog, and it does seem like this one is still not quite settled in.
What exactly, has anyone figured out what exactly Commander's problem is? I mean, was he raised by Republicans? What was the issue?
Yeah, he's actually attempting to be Speaker of the House. He fit right in with some of the crew there on the other side of Pennsylvania Avenue. Commander was a gift from the president's brother soon after he took office, after one of his other dogs had passed away. And the Bidens have since told aides they weren't quite sure that they wanted to have a new dog, a puppy, in the White House, but they certainly couldn't say no. But Commander has kind of come in and out. After some previous incidents of biting, he went to live at their first couple's home back up in Delaware, with some family and friends. But then he returned to the White House. Now he's off again.
I heard a dog expert say that. And I'm being serious. Perhaps part of the problem, at least with the Secret Service agents, is they have very stern, unpleasant looks on their faces because of their jobs. Their job requires them to be vigilant. They don't have time to be laughing and joking around. And maybe the dog read into that and reacted with hostility. Is there any truth to that?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, the Secret Service agents are not exactly known for their smiling facial expressions. They also carry big guns. And the other dogs that are around campus are the Secret Service, the police canines, who, you're supposed to stay away from and such. So I'm no dog expert. I certainly won't hazard a guess as to why Commander seems prone to biting. He also, let's recall, that it was during the transition when President Biden actually tripped and fell playing with his new dog and actually broke a bone in his foot. It was then a walking boot for a stretch, you'll recall. And his doctor has said, that partially why the president kind of at times his gait is a little halting is because that bone never really quite healed properly. So, Commander has definitely left an impact on this presidency to this point.
How do we know, Jonathan, that Commander has not been taken to a CIA black site?
There was a lot of work in the Senate. In fact, the late Senator Dianne Feinstein spent time trying to get those away from CIA's practices. But yes, the jokes are abound, some better than others, obviously, in terms of Commander's future. The press office has said at the White House that they do anticipate the dog returning at the White House at some point, but they haven't said.
All right, Jonathan, I am about to blow the lid off of something here, and I hope that you have the resources to look into this. Because there is a theory, and I think there's something to it, and we need to investigate. We've got to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
I think this story about the president's dogs, now Commander, I think it's cover. It's covering up for a bigger scandal in the White House. Now, I don't know what's behind this scandal or what it's about, but I do think it is kind of odd that suddenly on social media we're seeing a lot about Willow the cat, who is now back in the White House. And I think there is a bigger scandal that's being covered up here with the dog biting people.
You think
it's very suspicious.
You think the cat is...
Yes. What's going on with the cat? And can you look into that, Jonathan?
Do you think the cat's behind this?
The cat might be behind it.
Well, could it be, Jonathan?
When did the cat know, and when did the cat know it?
Yeah.
Guys, I missed some of that because I was busy clearing the space of my mantle for the Pulitzer that will come for this investigation. So I will get right to it and discover if indeed Willow the Cat is the mastermind behind the Commander's problems.
Cats are always the masterminds.
Well, they're sneaky, for one thing.
They are. They're very sneaky. They are. Jonathan Lemire, thank you so much for joining us, helping us get to the bottom of Commander the Dog, the German Shepherd, the Biden family member now out of the White House. And we hope not being sent to a CIA farm upstate.
Now, you see, I think you're onto something.
I think I am.
I do. I think that there's a possibility.
Right.
Because Washington is filled with political intrigue.
Exactly. And there's backstabbing going on.
Yeah. And cats are very capable of backstabbing.
They are the geniuses.
Because they have that look in their eye.
Exactly.
They look like little sneaks.
They know what's going on. You know, all right, that's it for KNX In-Depth today. It was rough.
Oh. But it was the cat's meow.
It was.
So there you go.
Maybe we'll be back tomorrow at 1 p.m.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you know, we were talking before about how many of us might have a family member that we wish would just go away.
Right.
And many of us do.
Yeah.
I mean,
send them away.
And some of us are lying and we say we don't. But many of us do.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out a Biden family member has been unceremoniously, maybe ceremoniously for that matter, removed from the White House. It's because he's got a history of biting people.
Biting people. Huge scandal. We're not talking about a person, though. It is Commander, the president's two-year-old German Shepherd. Jonathan Lemire is the White House Bureau Chief for Politico, host of MSNBC's Morning News show Way Too Early. Thanks for joining us.
I see what you did there.
Yes, you did.
Another Biden family member.
Another Biden family. And you know, this is a very big scandal. Maybe one of the biggest political scandals in the history of our nation, perhaps the world. But my question is this. All right. This dog, Commander, has a history of biting people, Secret Service agents, some White House staff. Now, dogs are generally a good judge of character. So What was it about these people that he bit? Have we looked into them?
Well, the old saying in Washington is, if you want a friend, get a dog. That apparently does not apply, though, to President Biden. Yes, Commander has had somewhat of a problematic run at the West Wing, and you're right. It's a huge story, and I'm grateful that this is radio, so I don't have to keep a straight face for this. There has been reporting in the last few days that Hunter Biden has bit a number of Secret Service agents. We knew some of that. But now it has apparently also been some other White House staff and that believe the Daily Mail has a picture snapped by a tourist, Commander mid-bite.
Mid-bite, latching
onto a staff member's arm. And we've been told that, at least for now, Commander is no longer on the White House grounds. And to be fair, the White House is an unusual place for anyone to live. Including a dog, and it does seem like this one is still not quite settled in.
What exactly, has anyone figured out what exactly Commander's problem is? I mean, was he raised by Republicans? What was the issue?
Yeah, he's actually attempting to be Speaker of the House. They fit right in with some of the crew there on the other side of Pennsylvania Avenue. Commander was a gift from the president's brother soon after he took office, after one of his other dogs had passed away. And the Bidens have since told aides they weren't quite sure that they wanted to have a new dog, a puppy. in the White House, but they certainly couldn't say no. But Commander has kind of come in and out. After some previous incidents of biting, he went to live at their first couple's home back up in Delaware with some family and friends. But then he returned to the White House. Now he's off again.
I heard a dog expert say that, and I'm being serious, perhaps part of the problem, at least with the Secret Service agents, is they have very stern, unpleasant looks on their faces because of their jobs. Their job requires them to be vigilant. They don't have time to be laughing and joking around. And maybe the dog read into that and reacted with hostility. Is there any truth to that?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, the Secret Service agents are not exactly known for their smiling facial expressions. They also carry big guns. And the other dogs that are around campus are the Secret Service, the police canines, who, you know, you're supposed to stay away from and such. So I'm no dog expert. I certainly won't hazard a guess as to why Commander seems prone to biting. You know, he also, let's recall, that it was during the transition when President Biden actually tripped and fell playing with his new dog and actually broke a bone in his foot. It was then a walking boot for a stretch, you'll recall. And his doctor has said that partially why the president kind of at times his gait is a little halting is because that bone never really quite healed properly. So, you know, Commander has definitely left an impact on this presidency to this point.
How do we know, Jonathan, that Commander has not been taken to a CIA black site?
You know, there was a lot of work in the Senate. In fact, the late Senator Dianne Feinstein spent time trying to get those away from CIA's practices. But yes, the jokes are abound, some better than others, obviously, in terms of Commander's future. The press office has said at the White House that they do anticipate the dog returning at the White House at some point, but they haven't said.
All right, Jonathan, I am about to blow the lid off of something here, and I hope that you have the resources to look into this. Because there is a theory, and I think there's something to it, and we need to investigate. We've got to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think this story about the president's dogs, now Commander, I think it's cover. It's covering up for a bigger scandal in the White House. Now, I don't know what's behind this scandal or what it's about, but I do think it is kind of odd that suddenly on social media we're seeing a lot about Willow the cat, who is now back in the White House. And I think there is a bigger scandal that's being covered up here with the dog biting people.
You think
and
the,
it's very suspicious.
You think the cat is...
Yes. What's going on with the cat? And can you look into that, Jonathan?
Do you think the cat's behind this?
The cat might be behind it.
Well, could it be, Jonathan?
What did the cat know and when did the cat know it?
Yeah.
Guys, I missed some of that because I was busy clearing the space of my mantle for the Pulitzer that will come for this investigation. So I will get right to it and discover if indeed Willow the cat is the mastermind behind the Commander's problems.
Cats are always the masterminds.
Well, they're sneaky for one thing.
They are. They're very sneaky.
They are.
Jonathan Lemire, thank you so much for joining us, helping us get to the bottom of Commander the dog, the German Shepherd, the Biden family member now out of the White House, and we hope not being sent to a CIA farm upstate.
Now, see, I think you're onto something.
I think I am.
I do. I think that there's a possibility.
Right.
Because Washington is filled with political intrigue.
Exactly. And there's backstabbing going on.
Yeah. And you know, cats are very capable of backstabbing.
They are the geniuses.
Because they have that look in their eye.
Exactly.
They look like little sneaks.
They know what's going on. Yeah, all right, that's it for KNX In-Depth today. It was rough.
Oh. But it was the cat's meow.
It was.
So there you go.
Maybe we'll be back tomorrow at 1 p.m.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode. So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.